I'm back at the lodge this week to play high-stakes dream sessions. To be honest, I'm not super excited to return after taking the worst beating I've ever had during stream relaunch week in February. Over three sessions of 50, 100, and 200, 400 that played huge, I lost a total of $300,000. $200,000 of it was my own money. It was the three biggest losses I've ever had, all on display, all in a row, while taking shots in the biggest games I've played at a card room where I'm part owner. It was the toughest thing that I've had to deal with in my poker career. It was humiliating. I ran bad, but it wasn't just the deck that wasn't cooperating. I wasn't on my A game. I got outplayed in some instances and had a punt so impressive, it belongs in Canton. The backlash and doubt from the general poker population came rushing in. Everyone lined up to get their quips and kicks in while I was on the ground. You can probably understand my hesitation to be back here playing 50-100 games that I know we regularly have multiple straddles on. Even plenty of you viewers and supporters sent messages urging me not to play these games because you've lost faith in my ability. Lots of conclusions were drawn about my skill level based on three sessions. Well, I certainly wasn't the biggest loser that week. Some of the best players in the world joined me in the red, including Ben Lamb, who also got torched for six figures, Jungle Man, who got wrecked for piles in multiple sessions in a row. Both of those guys lost close to $500,000 in two sessions. There's a lot of variance at high stakes in Austin. A few days of getting torched doesn't mean much in the grand scheme of things. Even if belief in me is at an all-time low, I know how I'm capable of playing. I know that my luck has to turn around at some point, and I know that I'll get every dollar I lost here back eventually. Sure, I was knocked down hard three times on my last visit, but that's in the past, and it doesn't matter. All that matters is that I get up one more time than I've been knocked down. No one thought that I could be a professional poker player growing up. When I started making poker vlogs, a lot of people thought it was stupid, including one of my current business partners. When I made the move up from playing 2-5 to 5-10, people thought I should move back down in stakes and I wouldn't be successful. When I made videos of me bubbling multiple tournaments over the years, people said I should stop playing them. The same is true when it comes to me playing high stakes cash games now. People don't always know what's best for you. When their belief in you is gone, and all you have is the belief in yourself, that's when you find out what type of person you are and what you're made of. We're about to see what I'm made of now. The first session is 50-100 with straddles on every hand. After buying in for $30,000, I run into some bad luck and I'm almost immediately stuck several thousand dollars. I have to stay mentally tough, and I do. Without getting too much to work with and without playing too many significant hands, I battle back to win $10,700 by the end of the night. It doesn't put me at the very top of the leaderboard, but I'm happy to book any win at the moment. Now it's time for the second and final day that I'm scheduled to play on stream. This one is listed at $2,550, but straddles and double straddles are on every hand again. I buy in for $20,000 initially. Right away, I like my seat because I've got Mariano and Andrew on my right, with perhaps some more passive players on my left. I'm in a good mindset, which really wasn't the case on my last trip here. Hopefully that'll translate into some good results. Right away, we get involved with ace four of diamonds as I raise a 250 from early position. Andrew Nemi's in the big blind with a better suited ace. He 3-bets to 1,050. He has removal to aces and ace king. The problem is that we do too. We already raised when we were first to act. We have plenty of playability post-flop, and I know Andrew is capable of re-raising light. Even if he isn't raising light, a 4-bet for me here will look incredibly strong and it'll put him in a very tough spot. We're going for it. I announce a 4-bet to 2,600. Andrew has a slightly better hand, but he has to fold. It's not a big pot, it just feels good to be winning early on and have a move go our way. Plus, 4-betting hands like this sets us up nicely later on. When we've got hands, we're going to 4-bet for value, like aces, because our opponents will be thinking, Brad has been 3-betting and 4-betting a lot, there's no way he's got it as often as he's representing. 18 hands in, a storm is brewing with a double straddle to 200 on. Mariano raises to 500 from the cutoff. We look down at pocket 10s. After seeing a late position open, we have what's a very standard 3-bet. Maybe we can get some hands with two overs like King-Jack or Queen-Jack offsuit to fold. Or we can get called by worse pocket pairs, or even hands containing just one over. I 3-bet to 1500. Mariano is near the top of his range with a premium. It's unfortunate for us that he has us notched. He puts in the 4-bet to 3,500. A 5-bet from us wouldn't accomplish much since better hands won't be folding and worse hands won't be calling. It's not too much more for us to call. we're in position, and it's still possible that we're up against hands like ace-king or ace-queen. I call for 2,000 more, really wanting to win this so that we can get off to a good start on the session. The flop comes jack-8-5 with two diamonds, our opponent flops top set, that we didn't need it. I expect him to continue firing at a high frequency after he 4-bets, whether he connects well with the flop or not. In this instance, he bets 3,500 once again. It's too early to fold at this juncture for that price since, under normal circumstances, we could still be best. Usually a 10 will still give us the lead, plus we have backdoor straight and flush draws. I call looking to pick up equity. The turn does just that for us as the deuce of diamonds comes out. We've at least got a flush draw. I anticipate a lot of checks from Mariano because all of hands like sets of jacks and eights and also flushes after the way this has been played. See Mariano glance at my stack and realize that I have less than a pot-sized bet remaining. He certainly doesn't want this board to get any worse for him, even though he has a monster. He flings a fistful of pink 5k chips into the pot to put me to the ultimate test. Instinctively, this is going to seem like a snap fold to many of you. We've got second pair and we could be drawing dead. It's really not quite that simple though. We're getting a little over 2-1 on a call, meaning we only need 33% equity for a call to be profitable. We're clearly not getting that in this instance when we can see what Mariano's cards are. When we're making decisions in real time, we have to try and figure out what his whole range looks like when he jams though. I actually almost immediately rule out flushes and pocket aces with the ace of diamonds because he wouldn't bet that much in order to give me an opportunity to fold a hand like pocket tens with a diamond. He'd go with a much smaller amount to avoid scaring me off. Mariano is a good player who's fearless at times. When he's jamming after 4-betting preflop, he's going to have a decent amount of bluffs in his range, consisting of ace-king and ace-queen offsuit with just one diamond. Being up against top set is one of the worst-case scenarios for us, and we still have 8 outs. I can't quite let go against a capable opponent when we're getting 2-1. I call the shove and quickly find out why Mariano wasn't concerned that we might have flopped a set. At this point, we're going to have to get lucky to win this, otherwise we're going to start out in a $20,000 hole. Luckily, I've got my man Clutch Kevin dealing the cards. He's the one who dealt the biggest pot that I've ever won of $147,000. Let's see if he can help me out one more time. The river is the queen of hearts. We lose a pot of over $40,000 just a short time into the stream. Mariano sacks me and gets a nice win. His hand gets posted to the lodge's social media, and again, people start coming after me, questioning my skills. It's interesting because the people who have a better understanding of poker weren't surprised by my decisions in this hand at all. In fact, well-known poker coach and streamer All In Pav ran the hand through a solver and created a video showing that I played the hand how I was supposed to, including making a point to show that if we're holding pocket tens with a 10 of diamonds and we're facing a river shove getting 2-1 pot odds, we have a pure call.
So once shove is played here, even though it was with the incorrect hand, what is the solver doing? Tens with a diamond is pure calling. And nines with a diamond is also pure calling, whereas ace-queen with a diamond is always folding here. Now, I did see a lot of people say that Brad, for the most part, is going to be up against a lot of combo draws or crushed. And yes, that's true. He's going to be up against a range that has a lot of equity most of the time. But that doesn't matter. In cash games, when you get in the right price, you simply call, because folding is not going to be making more money than calling. That's the whole point here. Now, whether or not you believe that hands like ace-queen and ace-king offsuit with a diamond like the 4-bet free and keep barreling here, you can leave that for debate in the comments.
If you're not playing as close to theory as you can in real time against someone like Mariano, you risk getting exploited. We see here, he's completely capable of making huge bluff shoves like he does with air against Andrew when there's 4 to the straight on board. Theory's great, but it doesn't make me any money in this hand. Instead, I'm forced to reload. I do it for $30,000 this time, losing all of my $10,700 profit from the day before, and then some. It's going to be a grind just to get back to even. I'm here for it, though. The poker gods show that they have a sense of humor as they give me pocket tens 2 hands later. I raise a 250 from the hijack. A player named Trey is in the under-the-gun straddle. He defends with 6-5 suited. We're heads up in position. The flop comes 7-5 deuce with 2 hearts and a spade. The opponent has a piece of it. He checks it over to us. It's nice to have an overpair, but we don't have a heart and there are a lot of bad turns for us. We're not checking back. I bet 400 for value. I want to get as much money in now before another heart or overcard comes out. Even smaller cards that connect with the board won't be great. I begin to wonder how clutch Kevin really is as the straddler puts in the check raise to 1200. Did our opponent flop a set against us again? There's no way for me to know for sure. Trey began the hand with the shortest stack at the table. After his raise, he only has about 7500 behind. Pocket 10 is too vulnerable to flat this raise, particularly without a heart. In general, I'm going to be ahead here. I re-raise jam to see if Trey really wants to play for all of it. We can potentially get called by combo draws, perhaps hands like pocket 8s or 9s, maybe even some worse holdings if Trey suspects I'm on a heart draw with two overs. I'm glad to not get snap called. Finally, someone isn't at the top of their range against me. Trey folds a hand that has 27% equity, we win a pot, and avoid what likely would have been a tricky situation on the turn. I'm trying to keep my composure as I'm regularly reminding myself that this is a big game. It'll probably play bigger and bigger as the night goes on. I was down several thousand at multiple points the day before, and I battled back to book a win. There's no reason I can't do it again today. I just need to stay positive, forget about getting stacked, and play my best going forward so that I don't compound anything like I did on my last trip to Austin. With the double straddle to 200 on again, Trey raises to 500 with pocket sixes. We're in the small blind with suited Broadway cards. I 3-bet to 2,000. The big blind is a man who needs no introduction. It's the poker legend Sharkbait. For those of you who are younger viewers, Sharkbait was part of the conglomerate called The Corporation that played high-stakes poker against billionaire Andy Beal in the early 2000s. He won two bracelets in mixed game events and has the WPT title. Surprisingly, Sharkbait just flats at 2,000 from the big blind with pocket queens. Trey has too short of a stack to justify getting involved. He lets it go. We're heads up out of position. The flop comes ace-ace-4. What's interesting about this is that I'm going to be 3-betting a lot of suited aces, an ace-king, ace-queen, and ace-jack. With a lot of trips in my range, I c-bet small to 1,600 with plans to have to possibly double barrel because I anticipate our opponent having lots of pocket pairs and very few aces once he flats our 3-bet. He's going to 4-bet hands like ace-king and ace-queen, potentially he'd flat ace-jack and ace-10 suited, but we have removal to ace-jack and ace-10 of clubs, so there's only one combo each of ace-jack and ace-10 suited that's available. We also have removal to jacks and tens, and we're normally going to get 4-bet by kings and queens. This is one of those times when we don't get 4-bet by queens, despite Sharkbait's aggressive reputation. The opponent surely won't fold to a small flop bet. He calls. The turn is the 6 of clubs. We're drawing stone dead, but that's not always important, but we have the right combination of cards to continue putting pressure on someone who will rarely have trips or better, while we certainly could.
Jack 10 of clubs is actually one of your better barrel offhands here, Skull, because you block ace jack, ace 10 of clubs, some of the suited ace combos.
That's great.
So,
once in a while, we'll throw you in.
Yeah. Not too relevant, but you kind of need some non equity triples IMO here.
Well, yeah, definitely banging.
Spades and clubs are going to kind of be better.
IMO, in my opinion.
Yeah, IMO, in my opinion.
I bang Scotty.
Oh, we got a turn barrel here.
Big barrel.
I like this a lot from Brad, actually. This is a nice hand to do it with. He's finding a good bluff combo.
Sharkbait up out of his seat, looking
super cool about it, right?
Across the table to his opponent, Mr. Brad Owen.
This is a pretty cool hand here, Skull. It's a nice big bet from Brad in the turn. Hand makes a lot of sense to bluff with. Now for Sharkbait. With queens, you're going to feel a little torn. On one hand, it's pretty easy for either player to have an ace. He's just going to let it go. Wow. Nice turn bet from Brad.
All right, mid game.
Hi, I'm done.
It's one of those spots I think a lot of players don't find because you can't have like a straight draw or a flush draw. You got to get creative and think about what hands make the most sense to bluff with. And I think that hand specifically is a very smart hand to use, and Brad managed to figure it out and get it done.
We get a big $6,000 bluff through. The double barrel induces the fold from pocket queens. Feels good to pull a move like that against one of the guys that I looked up to when I first started playing poker. It's time for the Nick game, which has been my nemesis here at the new studio, along with every other game that uses cards and chips. Each player has a nit button in front of them until they win a hand. The last player with a nit button has to pay every person at the table $300 each. I've double straddled to 200. The cutoff raises to 500. The button has a playable hand. His name is Alex. He just got third place in a WPT tournament and he won over $100,000 the day before in our cash game at the lodge. Alex calls. Trey's got suited connectors in the small blind. He calls. Andrew picks up snowmen in the big blind. He calls. It's only 300 more for us with an ace. We're closing the action as well. Plus, I still have a nit button in front of me. I call to see if I can get rid of it. The flop comes ace, queen, six, rainbow. A couple of us have pieces, but our piece is the biggest with top pair. It checks all the way to the button. He bets half pot into four other opponents. It's a fairly strong maneuver. Trey and Andrew fold. Our decision is pretty easy. Calling is the only option that makes much sense. That's what we do. The cutoff doesn't want to let go of his second pair just yet. He calls. The field has been narrowed down to three players. The turn is the six of diamonds pairing the board. I have mixed feelings about it. My kicker problems mostly go away. It's unlikely that anyone has ace-king or ace-queen the way this has been played. As long as no one has a six, our hand should be best. Plus, I'll have more sixes in my range than anyone else will. If I have the best hand, I don't want this to get checked through, allowing my opponents an opportunity to see a free card if they have equity. I also don't want to face a big bet on the turn and river. I'd like to get the showdown as cheaply as possible while denying some equity. I lead out for 1500. Since I'm the most likely person to be holding a six, I shouldn't be getting raised very often. The initial preflop raiser folds the second pair. The button may be worried that I could have a monster, but the paired board chasing a straight loses its appeal. Alex folds as well. We take down another pot and lose our nit button in the process. We're slowly getting out of Stockville for the night. The nit game is still on two hands later, but it's down to heads up. Yushan has been aggressively trying to get rid of his nit button. He raises to 250. The only other person with a button in front of him is Trey. He makes the light call to avoid losing. We look down at King Deuce suited in the big blind. I recognize that these two players are going to be getting involved with way worse hands than normal. I 3-bet squeeze with what's actually the best hand. Yushan loves 9-6. He calls extremely light. Trey can't let Yushan play this one heads up against me. He calls extremely light as well. We're going three ways to the flop out of position. It comes ace-jack-8 with two hearts. At first glance, it may not seem like a very good flop for us, but Yushan just 4-bet ace-jack offsuit the hand before to avoid losing the nit game. It backfired because Alex 5-bet ripped king-queen offsuit and Yushan folded. But the point is that Yushan would have 4-bet me with a lot of combos containing an ace, and he certainly would have done it with pocket aces and pocket jacks. He likely doesn't have a hand that connected well with two Broadway cards out there. The same is true for Trey. On the other side of things, I don't have a nit button, and there's no real reason for either of my opponents to believe that I 3-bet light. I can credibly represent plenty of very strong hands. I stick with my story that I've got something good, and I bet 2,600. This does the trick. Yushan has air and folds. Trey has a piece with his gutter and backdoor flush draw, but he folds as well. This is a bizarre set of circumstances facing two players with weak ranges that are playing the nit game, and we're able to take advantage of it as we inch closer to the even mark. I'm only down 11,000 at the moment. A while later, we're playing the nit game once again. Andrew's in the cutoff and makes a light raise to 250. We've got ace-7 suited in the small blind. We've got our nit button in front of us, as does Andrew. We want to play. I 3-bet to 1,200. You know who still has cards? It's our old friend Sharkbait. He had a very famous heads-up battle with Devilfish in 1999 that unfortunately didn't go Sharkbait's way, but he's got a really cool background playing poker in underground clubs in the Northeast while attending law school. Some say that Mike McDermott from Rounders is supposed to be a less attractive version of Sharkbait. No one has ever accused Sharkbait of being a nit, so it's a bit perplexing to see the nit button in front of him. He tries to get rid of it with a cold 4-bet to 3,600 with 8-6 offsuit. The game has gotten wild. Andrew folds, the action is back on me. By now, I know that Sharkbait knows I bluffed him off of his queens when I jack 10 suited earlier. I get the sense that he may have revenge mode activated. I don't want to fold, 5-betting seems a little too risky as well. Our hand has a solid amount of playability. I call to see if we can get a decent flop. The dealer puts out jack 7-3 with two hearts. We've at least got middle pair. I check it to the preflop aggressor. He's not slowing down. He fires for 2,100. Raising will only get his bluffs out. I call, even with very few turns that I want to see. The pot is getting big. As the ace of diamonds comes out, it's one of the best cards that we could get. I check it over to the opponent. I'm now hoping that he has ace-x of hearts or ace-king offsuit. The opponent is drawing stone dead as he bets 6,100. It's a bit of a dangerous board with all kinds of flush and straight draws. After getting 4-bet and seeing two barrels from the opponent, I assume that he has some kind of piece. No more messing around. I check jam for 24,000 effective, not wanting to get snapped off by a set or ace-jack. Instead, we're up against complete trash. I'm finally able to capitalize on some players trying to do some nutty things against me as we make a strong hand in a 4-bet pot to win more than $12,000 and officially get unstuck. We're in for $50,000 total, and we've crossed that threshold. We came all the way back from $20,000 in the hole. If you think we're done, just wait. We're only getting started. Three hands after, we've got pocket aces with the Nick game still on. I raised to 300. Alex is in the small blind. He's one of the last players left with the Nick button. He 3-bets to 1,500. This is the difference between the last few sessions I played here and today. I'm occasionally making good hands, so I'm able to properly punish people when they do outlandish things against me. I 4-bet to 4,000. I'm not going to be slow playing preflop at all against someone with a nit button, especially Alex, who 5-bet king-queen offsuit earlier. He's fully capable of gambling it up and putting people to difficult decisions in instances when they don't have it. You can see Alex isn't quick to let go. He's got removal to aces, but is in bad shape. About 50 seconds go by before Alex finally folds. We win it, and we're up a couple thousand. We may not be able to get to enjoy this feeling for too long, though. Four hands go by, the Nick game is off, but before the cards are dealt, Mariano indicates that he's potentially going to keep the action going.
I might have to blast my stack just to get the juices flowing.
Just to know you're alive, right?
Yeah, yeah. The moment's coming. Everyone be warned. Next time I raise, I probably will have nothing.
Mariano will have the opportunity to go for a big squeeze. His tray raises to 600 in the cutoff. This is followed by Andrew Nimi picking up a playable hand with two Broadway cards and calling. Somehow, Mariano wakes up with a monster right on cue.
Kind of hard not to.
This much. I'm back, baby. I'm back.
I'm not sure what to make of Mariano's previous comments, and now his subsequent 3-bet. He's been incredibly aggressive already, 3 and 4 betting pretty relentlessly. We've got what's ordinarily going to be the best hand with ace-queen in the big blind. We've got a big decision to make.
And wow. Mariano talks about blasting off and immediately looks down at pocket queens, 3-bets to $3,500. And Brad has a real one. Ace queen off, 4-bets to 8,000. The perfect spot here for Mariano has Brad crushed. Snap calls.
Mariano doesn't even seem to consider 5-betting, so it feels like he has a worse suited ace of some sort, or medium to high pocket pair. Maybe some type of suited connector hand that he didn't want to fold for a 4-bet that wasn't much more. I've ruled out hands like aces, kings, ace-king, and I doubt he'll have queens very often because we've got removal to queens. The flop comes 10-10-8 with two clubs, small blind checks. This pot has gotten massive. I'm not going to have any 10s or 8s in my range, whereas the opponent will have some trips and some full house combos. I check back to hopefully see an ace or a club. The turn is the 10 of diamonds, and the small blind checks again. Now I'm thinking it's a lot more likely our opponent either has ace high like us or an underpair to the board. 8's full just got counterfeited. I put out a small bet of 4,000 to make it seem like I'm milking the opponent and just checked back aces or kings on the flop to be tricky. Mariano will almost never have aces or kings in his range, whereas we will. Because of that, I plan to potentially fire huge on the river and maybe even overbet shove. Mariano calls the 4,000. In my mind, he could have ace high, maybe the same hand as us, or a hand like jacks, or an underpair to tens. The river is the ace of hearts, giving us the second best boat possible. Mariano checks. He's gotta hate seeing that card. I love it. This is such a rare spot to be in that I actually have no idea what the best play is. I'm kinda in shock to have hit the river. I want to make sure that we squeeze out any extra bit of money that we can, but I don't envision the opponent being able to call anything if he has a worse hand than ours. Ultimately, I go with another tiny sizing of 4,000, which is a lot in real life, but it's very small relative to the pot. Mariano can't fold for that amount, even though it's almost never a bluff. He calls. He reasonably could have called for a good chunk more with pocket queens, but if he had pocket nines, I'm not sure that he would have. I'm finally getting some good runouts. We win a pot that's almost $30,000. I'm up about $20,000 overall. Very little was going right for me on the previous trip here. That's changed for the most part today. Next, Andrew raises it up to 500 from the hijack. We've got pocket aces again. This time we're on the button. I 3-bet to 1,500. There's no Nick game going on or anything like that. Alex just has a hand that he wants to play. He's tired of me 3 and 4 betting people. He puts in the cold 4-bet himself to 4,800. Andrew folds immediately. There are a couple of graphical errors in this hand. The first one is that it says Alex only 4-bet to 3,800, which is incorrect, As we can see, there are four yellow 1K chips out there, a purple $500 chip, and three black $100 chips. Also, his stack is incorrect. It says Alex started the hand with 38,000, but he has four pink 5K chips, around 15 1K chips, 12K in black, another 5K or so in purples, and 1,600 in green. Altogether, he has somewhere around 53,000 total to start. We've got him covered. I want to get as much in now as possible. I 5-bet to 11,000. Perhaps the 4-bet from me earlier is still in Alex's mind when I had aces against him in that hand too. He might be thinking that I can't always be strong, though I have been today against him. Alex calls for 5,200 more. We're heads up in position in a 5-bet pot with the opponent completely dominated. The flop comes 10-7-4 with two clubs. It's close to as bad as it could get. The opponent checks. The main hands that I put my opponent on are pocket kings and queens, ace king, maybe ace queen suited. I'm not too thrilled when I look down to realize that we don't have the ace of clubs. It makes it a lot more likely that our opponent could have a flush draw. Because of that, we're not going to be down betting. I bet 13,000 in an attempt to get all the chips in the middle right now. I don't expect to be up against pocket tens very often. I'm rooting for a jam so that I can call. Alex actually has about 42,000 total. He's got one of the best poker faces in the game. He gets a count of his inventory. In my head, I'm repeating the same monologue over and over. Rip it, dude. Rip it. After almost exactly a minute, Alex comes to a decision.
All in announced from Alex. A snap call from Brad.
I see Alex's cards, and it's about the worst case scenario I could have imagined. The best case scenario would have been pocket kings, ideally with no club. Ace king or ace queen of clubs would have been better as well, but now we're playing a pot that's over $100,000 and my opponent can hit any club or a 10 to win. I've gone through so much pain in this new studio, I haven't won a single all-in outright with cards to come. Even though I played multiple huge all-ins, they've just all gone the other way. Despite that, I want to make sure that we're not chopping this. We're either going to have max joy or absolute max pain.
I just go once.
And Brad wants to go once for blood.
I got in a large deficit early. I got all the way out of it to be up 20,000, only to put it all on the line here with just a 57% chance of winning. I'll either be up 70,000 on the day, or I'll be down about 40,000 to book another massive loss in this room. I can barely stand to look at the runout, though I'm in the 8 seat, and I'm the first player at the table to see the cards as they come out. The turn is the 7 of diamonds. I'm still not able to breathe properly as I'm getting the sense that this is just being set up for me to experience ultimate agony when a club comes on the river. Each second feels like an eternity. I want to see a red card so badly just so that I don't have to sweat as much. I'm not sure what I did to deserve it, but I see the 5 of clubs here before everyone else and my heart completely stops. This is one more massive loss of mine that everyone will be talking about all over social media. It's one more time that I'll leave Austin with less than I came in with. One more time, I'll have to explain to family and friends that they don't need to worry about me and everything's okay. Except, this time is different because it's the 5 of spades that comes out. We win a pot over $100,000 to be up, way more than I've ever been up in a session before. I was so mentally prepared to see a club that it took me a long time to realize that it's a spade that the dealer actually put out. It's not quite the biggest pot that I've ever won. It's certainly the most satisfying just because of everything that's led up to it for me. I needed to win to restore some confidence and have some good memories in this room. We get a count of both of our chips just to make sure that I have them covered, and I do. Shortly into the session, my name is at the bottom of the leaderboard, but it's not about how you start, it's about how you finish. We're up at the top of the leaderboard now with a stack over $100,000. We actually have quite a bit more than what's listed. We've got closer to $120,000. And I'm up 70,000 on the session. I'm proud of myself for not giving up after getting stuck early on. The cards finally cooperated and the big pots went my direction. The session ends shortly after without me getting involved in any other interesting hands. Rather than receiving worried texts from friends and family, the opposite happens. I look at my phone when poker's ended to see all kinds of positive and excited text messages. It's awesome to see that. It's been a great day.
Session's over. I won $68,500, the biggest win of my life by over $20,000. Yes. And man, I'm still kind of processing it. It's been really, really rough on stream. Hard to kind of keep the faith that things would turn around. And even when, you know, I'm in a $100,000 pot and basically just flipping, and the guy has ace 10 of clubs and the flush draw, it just kind of feels like the flush is coming. So the fact that I held there was just, it felt so good. And I feel like it just takes a ton of pressure off. I won a little over 10,000 yesterday, so I'm up almost 80,000 in the last 2 days. Only had 40% of myself both days, but still, I think, you know, that puts me at about up about 30K personally, which just feels great, man. I can't even tell you. So very, very happy just to have these two live streams go well and to have things start going in the right direction. Still a long way to go to catch up all the way, but I'm just happy to take you guys along with the journey, man.
The night doesn't end there. I go out and have a celebratory dinner with our commentator Skull Mike, Mariano, and Andrew. It takes me several hours to wind down with all the adrenaline, but I'm more focused than ever to play and get back as much money as I can. It's still very possible that I have my first ever losing year, but I'm certainly going to be a better player for putting myself in uncomfortable situations, and in the long run, that's what matters. Aside from the streams, I have a nice win in the 5-10-25 game after winning a 6-bet pot with pocket aces. Then to kick off the Lodge Championship Series, which runs until May 16th, we host a meetup game that gets 25 tables and hundreds of people come out. It's my favorite trip I've ever taken to Austin.